Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode talking about how we can strengthen the unity of the body of Christ. This is your host, Preach. Let's see what we have for you today. With the background noise, it should be below our volume, so I should be able to filter all that out. Okay. May get a little bit of background noise, but that's no worries.
Sure.
Yeah. As I said, I wanted to talk to you because you have actually had a couple of Bible studies now in your class, and you just have experience there on the high school campus as a teacher, as a believer. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how church unity can help believers that are on public school campuses, and then kind of dive right into even that Bible study area.
Yeah.
And so this is just conversation format, not interview question by question. We'll just kind of go back and forth.
Sounds good. A
couple of talking points I'll pull up here. But first, you'll want to just go ahead, introduce yourself, why I'm asking you to be here. I mean, we met each other because of a high school Bible study, me stepping into your classroom. And
sure.
I think I told you, I actually mentioned you in another podcast
where you mentioned
your poster. Yeah. So go ahead, introduce yourself, and then we'll just jump right into talking about these different areas.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Jeremy Shuffle. I teach at Meridian High School. Science, biology, anatomy, and physiology. And I've coached a number of sports over the years.
Cool.
Golf, basketball.
Which one's your favorite?
You know, I never was sad when I traded in coaching basketball for coaching golf.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just coaching golf is fun. You just help the kids get better at whatever their skill level is.
Yeah.
You get very little complaints about playing time. There's no bad refs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, it was just an interesting change and a fun pace. Yeah. And I myself really getting into the game of golf and helping kids get better. And it was fun.
Yeah, I bet.
And you get to do a lot of the drills with them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet that actually helped you get better at golf as well, since you were just getting into it.
Basketball practice was very structured, but golf practice, you know, you can jump right in. We're doing chipping drills, doing putting drills.
Exactly.
And do it with the kids. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
That's cool. That's really cool. I still need to work on my golf, for sure. I usually get out to the driving range maybe 3 times in a year. I kind of need to up that. In order to improve my game.
Good practice.
So what's your history with the church? Kind of just your walk and where you're attending now?
Yeah, that's good. Right now we attend and have for a couple of years the Compass Bible Church here in Meridian. It's a church plant, expository teaching. That's what I really love. So I grew up Catholic and I became a Christian when I went to college. Campus Crusade for Christ, I believe they call it Crew now, but was instrumental in that. Met some great friends in college that were Christians.
Yeah.
One of my good college friends, the little moments that stand out in your mind that you remember as we're getting to know each other, said, you know, you believe a lot of the right things, but not for the right reason. And that really caused a lot of introspection and, you know, questioning why is that and what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Started going to Mountain View Bible Church up in Moscow, Idaho when I was at U of I. And then as a young Christian, and then that expository teaching is just really what I loved and was so different than what I had grown up with.
Yeah,
to teach verse by verse what it means, go back to the Hebrew and Greek and what these words that have been translated, you know, literally mean in those languages. Really appreciate that. So Pastor Ben and all of our pastors.
Yeah.
Pastor Charlie leads our men's group. And we have Pastor Josiah too. But we've just got great teaching at Compass that I appreciate and enjoy.
Yeah.
My wife and I both feel like we've grown spiritually leaps and bounds since being at Compass.
That is so cool.
For a long time, we went to Calvary Chapel.
Okay.
And same expository teaching, very, very similar stuff there. But our daughters, as they grew up, got plugged into youth groups. So we were at Central Valley Baptist Church for a while here. Great high school youth group, great youth pastor that really made strong connections with our kids.
That's cool.
Now that they're grown up, it was a good good move to start at Compass.
That's cool. I've met Ben before. Have had a couple conversations with him. Yeah, I really like him. Great guy. And I hear you. I can get 100% behind the expository preaching. And I believe they do a great job with that.
Yeah,
they do a really good job.
It's been good. So, I became a Christian in college. And it's been a number of years now. I've been teaching for over 20 years in the high school.
So what,
all at the high school level.
What led you into teaching at the high school level?
So I actually first got a degree from college in biology. I was going to be a wildlife biologist, and I was a field biologist for a little while, and decided I didn't want to become a head biologist once I was in the career. There's something wrong when you're like, wait, I'm supposed to want to take over my boss's job someday, and I didn't.
And you didn't want to. And I also knew
that I couldn't be, couldn't stay out doing field biology work, you know, forever when you, to try to raise a family or anything. And just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. Long story short, I chose to teach biological science and coach. I really got into coaching in college as well.
Oh, wow.
Volunteered and coached some youth sports and loved it.
I
had some great parents that were so supportive and thankful to have a positive role model in their kid's life.
That is awesome.
So I was really, you know, when you're thinking about what do I want to do as an adult, what do I want to do for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
I felt good about coaching, and I've always been interested in sports.
Yeah.
Love every kind of sport and activity pretty much.
That's cool.
So it just felt like the biology, I got a master's degree in kinesiology.
Okay.
And so it all just kind of went hand in hand, motivating, coaching, teaching, and teaching the subject that I got an undergraduate degree in. So I didn't feel like it was a complete shift of careers or a complete waste of my degree.
That's good.
That's what led me to do that.
So. Yeah, that's really cool. It's amazing the way God will just kind of pull pieces together in our walk, in our life, in our history. And there's a saying that he never lets anything go to waste, and he just redeems everything and makes good use of everything in our history. And that, I love that.
All things work toward good for
us. Yes, sir.
Who love and believe. I mean, that's just, he can use all of us.
Yeah.
We're, our expository, Pastor Ben does a podcast, Revival from the Bible, every day. Through the Old Testament this year, and
last year
was the New Testament. And I mean, the Old Testament, you see so many great examples of faith, and you see so many really, really bad decisions by the patriarchs of faith. And so,
by those very same people.
By the very same people. So it does, you can't help but realize that God can use anyone. Don't think God can't use you.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's just not true.
Yep. If you feel like God can't use you, you haven't read the whole Bible.
You've only
gotten the highlights.
Yes, absolutely. So, I think that might even make the cliff notes.
But. Yep. So looking at believers on school campuses, especially public school campuses, you hear a lot nowadays about how difficult that can be for Christians. I hear a lot from parents, especially, about hesitancy of their kids going there and the difficulty and the influence. So with that in mind, how can the church rally around believers on campuses? How can church unity help believers that are on campuses?
It's a good question. I think support, you know, support at home and in youth groups, and if students can have a strong connection with other friends, and maybe they don't even go to that school, but it'd be great if they could find another friend at the same school that they're plugged in outside of school time with in a positive way, and positive influences that can. Because there are plenty of bad influences probably everywhere in life, but they definitely exist in in the public school system.
Yeah,
and I think maybe even it's just that technology and such, social media, makes things more accessible.
Oh yeah,
to kids.
Absolutely.
And so those bad influences were probably always at public school. I mean, I didn't even know about. I think at some point back. Going back home, I was born and raised in North Central California, but
okay.
Back home, and it's just my sister and I in terms of our immediate family, but
okay.
Something came up. We were talking about back when we were in high school, and she's like, well, you know, all the stoners would go down the street over to the cemetery mm-hmm. during the school day. And I was like, no, I never knew that. How did you know?
what were you doing there?
But I think you just could easily not know about maybe uh-huh. some of the bad influences. And now with social media and everything, it's probably more in kids' faces and more yeah. easily accessible
yeah.
to see
absolutely.
Those bad influences. So you're going to have to really have a strong reliance on a positive relationship with
yeah.
it needs to be more enticing to go do quality, fun things that
absolutely.
Are not detrimental to,
yeah, that
to society, to people's property, to
yep.
the to your own health and well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah. That needs to be more available and more abundant than the pull of the enticement of sin for a,
yeah.
a simple, quick pleasure.
Exactly.
Which I know is hard too with, we do see, you know, I feel like over the last 20 years, we see less grit, less, just.
Yeah. Perseverance.
Less perseverance.
Yeah.
It's a little bit troubling, but
yeah,
you just don't see the ability to have a delayed gratification.
Yeah.
Is a waning. Skill that more kids need to have, but
yeah.
but they're just surrounded and it's embedded into their life every day to
yeah.
not, what do you mean work hard and I don't get any
exactly
thing for it right now? I mean,
exactly.
I know we like sports and such, and we like
yep.
those, you know, being able to teach those kind of life skills through things
yeah.
like that. And
that's tough.
You're going to have to find that, I guess, somewhere, the opportunities to engage in
exactly
productive use of their time.
Yeah. And
positive
to
relationships.
Value that. Yeah. And to value that long-term result and the delayed
absolutely.
Gratification.
Yeah.
That's such a huge skill, such a huge
it
practice
really
to be able to have and be successful in life is delayed gratification. Because if you're always going after the quick stuff, it's not going to last. Easy come, yeah. easy go.
And it's there, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure yeah. they can find, you know, things that sound appealing and
yeah.
quick and easy. And as we know, there a lot of those avenues aren't actually going to bring
no
peace or quality of life
no.
or it's
yeah.
just a rabbit hole that you'd like to keep them from going down. But
yeah.
so I just think finding a good, you know, even one good quality friend that you can
yeah.
trust in that's has the common goal of deepening their faith.
Absolutely.
Would
absolutely.
Be huge. So I don't know how you find that or promote that or
exactly
within the schools, but that would just go a long ways. And
oh, yeah.
even in the school, you know, even just secularly speaking in the school, that is one of the things that's preached to us all the time.
Yeah.
Was just in our staff meeting today is our biggest tool is building positive relationships. So that's the one thing
yeah.
you can try to do, you know?
Yeah.
You can try to lock doors and keep the riffraff out, but the truth is, if
yep.
it wants to get in, it's there.
Yeah.
I mean, we obviously, sin is around us, so...
Exactly.
You just have to focus on building those positive relationships.
Absolutely. I hear that for sure. And I feel like that's one of the big things that... So, I'm thinking back to when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a large youth group.
Okay.
At its peak, there was 800 students in there.
Wow.
And, you know, even at its low, I think it was, you know, running around 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I went to a big youth group. And it was one of the more popular ones in the area, obviously. The church was one of the more popular churches. And I remember only seeing a few people from my youth group at my high school. And that's being one of the bigger youth groups in the area. There was only a few.
Yeah.
And so it can be really difficult to know that there's other believers there on the campus to connect to.
You can get lost like that at a
yeah.
bigger school, I feel like. And there's so many schools in our area anymore
yeah.
and so many options.
Oh, yeah.
Between all the virtual academies and charter schools
charter school,
and
yeah.
private school.
Oh, yeah. new high schools, new public schools popping up
everywhere around. Yeah, it's actually pretty crazy.
Yeah. And so I mean, with that, I feel like there's something special to when you're able to get that awareness of other believers that are there on that campus, and just even having that support, that connection there. And I think when churches practice unity, that helps make those connections sometimes. I know our church will meet up in a park once a year with a few other churches here in the area. And then to be able to make that connection, to see people and to know, okay, they go to that church and we've spent this time together. It's nice to be able, I mean, just even me and you running into the grocery store, right?
Kuhn is growing, but yeah, I guess exactly. It's not that big.
So it's those types of things. It really helps to build that connection, and it helps you to know that you're not walking alone, mm-hmm. which is really big, which is really something that helps to encourage you and keep you going and gives you a little bit of strength when you know you're not walking alone.
For sure. And it was really another thing we did at the high school.
Yeah.
And haven't done for a few years. It fell apart, but it was really good at the time, was staff. We would do a little prayer meeting once a week before school, and our principal attended it.
Yeah.
A bunch of teachers. And I had been at the school for a little while when we started, but I wasn't one of the long-term veterans. And
yeah.
Like you said, it was nice to see, wait, there's some staff from other teachers to admin.
Exactly.
Who are also believers.
Yeah.
And there is strength and power in feeling like, hey, I'm not the only one here.
Absolutely.
You don't want to succumb to the drop in the bucket feeling of, well, nothing matters anyway, because I'm only one.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of a whole bunch here.
Oh.
But that was really encouraging when we would once a week get together and pray together and share, you know, what's going on.
I can imagine. That's big. And I bet for some people who will listen to this, that'll just be surprising to them.
Yeah.
To hear,
you know,
hey, this public school has a handful, you know, numbers of staff, and it's not just all people that are trying to corrupt our kids.
No,
you
know? No. And we actually homeschooled our kids after about between third and fifth grade. So they missed out, although they didn't miss out on the middle school, the public middle school stuff. And my wife did a fantastic job with their homeschooling opportunities and such as they grew up. But I get asked that, especially during that time as well. Both of our kids are graduated now. And wait, you teach at a public school, but your own kids are homeschooled. But there are obviously, you know, a lot of bad influences out there. But like you said, I think a lot of people would be surprised that it's really not, at least in our area. I mean, I can't speak for everywhere in the country,
but exactly.
In our area, the public schools are filled with a lot of, I mean, everybody, I guess, has good intentions and not only go so far, but still with staff members, teachers, even administrators who themselves, you know, went to NNU, who themselves went even to private Christian universities and such.
I feel like that's so encouraging to hear. You know, that means we have people there that can be lights, you know, on that campus. We have people there that are holding the ground, so to speak.
And that was the idea, we had for a while, and then it kind of didn't get very strong, and now it's, I think, trying to grow back strong in our Fellowship of Christian Athletes
Club. Yeah.
But at the time, a few years ago, when we did the Bible study thing, there was a group of kids kind of asking for it that were involved in their local youth group and wanted to encourage, and they wanted to invite others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we sort of rocked the boat a little bit, is knowing me as one of their teachers. They asked me if they could use my room, and I was like, of course.
Yeah.
We can do that, and you want to invite and try to see if there's other kids.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the sad parts is we've had a few suicides over the last 5 to maybe 10 years at Meridian and they were just like, we need to promote a sense of hope. and maybe try to reach some kids and invite them to a Bible study at lunchtime where they can feel like there's some hope somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how it started. And I had them make up signs, and we put up the signs, and that's what we got in trouble for, was putting up signs that said Bible study in my room.
Uh-huh.
And admin was like, wait a minute, and you got to get those signs approved. And so then we formed a club simply because the policies read that you can have religious affiliated clubs on campus, and then you have rights to promote and put flyers up in the hallways. So we created the club so that it really wasn't a club per se, just a group of kids getting together.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm always told on stuff like that, you have to be careful that I'm not supposed to be leading it and teaching, like,
it has to be student led.
Yeah, it's supposed to be student led.
It's a student club, student led.
You know, that it's not me forcing certain beliefs.
Yeah.
You know, or I might get a some emails that.
No, yeah. I understand, but
you're right. It was, the idea was to create that space where kids could come and in the middle of on their time, on their lunchtime, you know, hang out with others and invite others to be encouraged and to share how God was working in their lives and what their faith meant to them.
Exactly.
It was, to be honest, it's kind of disappointing that in the last couple of years, I haven't had a group of kids since those kids graduated that really have taken the reins. There's been a few students and parents that have asked about, because they'll see it listed in the club list and whatever. And I've had a few inquiries. Sometimes it just takes the charismatic leader or even just two or three students that all go to a really good youth group that want to be the catalyst to get it started. And as much as I would like to take that up and be the catalyst, it gets into questionable lines that I'm.
Yeah. And it has to be, it's one of those, it has to be student led.
Yeah.
But you know what? What a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
What a wonderful opportunity for, especially for teenagers who are believers, for youth groups to encourage, you know, their students and equip their students to go in and say, hey, we're going to do a student club.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a Christian student club. And I think that's something that possibly not too many ministers, adult leaders, even students are aware of, that, hey, I can do this on my campus.
Yeah.
I can just, I find a teacher who's willing to host it and bring some friends together, and we can provide a spot here on campus where we can connect with other believers. We can be encouraged with one another, and we can also invite others into the space to learn about the hope that we share. And
I think there's a lot of power when I've sat there during that time and listened to other kids sharing, you know, here's what God's doing in my life. Here's something our pastor preached on, or I read out of the Bible, and this is what this is my life application of it. And, you know, I mean, they can relate to each other. It's kind of like in the classroom, that there might be a disconnect in my frame of reference to their frame of reference, but the student frame of reference is much more relatable to other students. So there's a lot of power in, you know, a new kid being invited in and then hearing somebody else who's a main member of the group sharing how God's working in their lives. And they might be like, oh, wow, this, that seems powerful. you just want to encourage those questions, that wondering, that how can I deepen my faith? How can this?
And you know what, that, for me, I feel like that is so possible, especially if you're able, like I said, I had a big youth group, right? And there was still only a handful of students that went to my high school. And myself and a couple other gentlemen were working on a ministry initiative for young adults.
Good.
And I feel like the same concept applies here, where maybe you don't have enough as your church to go and get this specific ministry started. Maybe you only have two or three students that go to that school, and it's just not enough to get the ball rolling. But if one of those students was able to connect with another student from another youth group, and those two connected with one other student from another, well, now you have three students that can go in there and say, hey, let's lead this. Let's make this happen. Mm-hmm. And you think about all the different youth groups in the area. If those ministers, those youth pastors, and those students are willing to come together and say, hey, we're going to make sure we get a group going here on this campus, they could probably get a good number of students that would say, yeah, let's do this together. And we're get a handful, 5 to 10 students even in there that are willing to get the ball rolling and make something happen.
For sure. And I know it went a long ways, you know, a couple of times. It doesn't even take much, but you bring donuts or you bring some kind of treat, you know, that's a novelty on campus, you know, that's.
Yeah. And when you talk about church unity helping in that aspect, we can share the load, you know, one church takes this week, another church takes that week. Yeah. And that way we're not breaking the budgets, but we can go in there.
It's a small thing. And, but, you know, of the kids that if you get to a small group that are regularly coming, that makes an easy way for them to invite other kids. Hey, come get a special treat and, and you might be encouraged. And,
exactly. I mean, if you're only doing this, you know, once every few months or a couple months because you're sharing the load, you can possibly even do something where it's kids are rushing in there to try to get their
share. Were just doing once a week, you know, meeting for the Bible study and sharing anything that anybody had on their mind for a life application of the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
In their own life. That we were doing that just once a week.
And, exactly. So, I mean, if 8 churches all said, we're going to get behind this.
Yeah.
That's, you know, taking 1 week.
1 week out of a month.
Yeah. Every other month. I mean, we'd be willing to throw some Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets in there and get some people visiting, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
If it's only a few times a year.
All it has to be is something more enticing than cafeteria food, and that's not hard to do.
But yeah, I think that's really cool. And I feel like it's the same thing I feel like it's the same thing for especially our staff that are at the schools to know that they're there to, you know, lend support. I was talking with my pastor just earlier today, actually. We were talking and he was mentioning how sometimes he'll just spend some time in prayer and then he'll send messages. And he's done that for me. And it's been really encouraging when, you know, he's spending time in prayer, he'll have people come across his mind and he'll send him a text. And I feel like just to also have that, to know, hey, we have these people working at this school. We're going to send them an encouraging message, you know, going into their day.
Exactly. That would go a long way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I feel like a big part of us as a church working in unity, you know, the body of Christ, is first of all, just being aware.
For sure.
Just knowing. And so having that there, having that understanding, hey, we have Christians here on this campus that are trying to, you know, invest into our kids.
Sure.
We have students there on that campus who want to make a difference, who need to know there's other believers there with them.
There's a way to do that.
There's a way to do it. And I think that's really cool.
Oh, that is powerful.
So with that just kind of in mind, is there anything else that you want to say kind of as we're closing here, especially with the idea of you've mentioned FCA on the campuses, you've mentioned being able to do those student-led clubs, and then having staff that are believers coming together. Is there anything that you would say to the church in general or to believers who are on campuses just as a word of encouragement and the idea of coming together and helping each other out?
Yeah, I guess I would just say not to give up on the public schools because there's a big movement, especially within what I know is my circle, to kind of just avoid the public school system in general, which, you know, if that's what's best for your family, you need to do that. But in terms of what you're saying, you know, how to bring people together and offer an opportunity to reach others that, you know, to reach some of these kids, to reach some, I mean, staff turnover in teachers, period, is high.
Yeah.
So, and it seems to be growing in recent years, but so on all levels, staff and students, I think that we need to not just give up and avoid that realm, but instead still have avenues and still have ways that teachers, students can get together and also not give in to the policies and procedures of the secular world that like, oh, well, we can't do that on a school campus. No, you have.
There's ways.
At the high school, especially, I don't really know, not as familiar with elementary level and things like that. But at the high school, I mean, these kids are going to be next year on college campuses where every life club every thing is promoting and selling come join us and come live our lifestyle. So that's what my idea was when we started that, was that lunchtime is their time, and if they want to use that to further their faith and further the kingdom of God, why can't they do that? Just because it's a public school campus and doesn't inhibit that necessarily.
Nah. And I think because it's a public school campus, that's a great place to do it.
Exactly.
You know, I really hear you on that, not to give up on the public schools. I think it's not time to sound the retreat. It's more time to say, hey, let's rally together and let's get in there. Jesus talks about, you know, how the gates of hell will not prevail. And that's for a church that's in movement. You know, that's a church that's moving forward and charging.
That's true.
So if we're sounding the retreat completely, then we're giving away ground where we don't need to.
True.
True. Darkness is literally the absence of light.
And that's what we need. We need the light to shine in the darkness.
Not to go away from it. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jeremy. This was a great conversation. And really just blessings on your teaching, your class. Really hope we are able to see another group come up in there. If so, let me know if there's anything that I can do to support. Would love to help support that. And really just blessings on the high school and your family especially. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Please subscribe and share to make sure we can keep getting out more content like this. The In Hope podcast is a small part of the ministry of In Hope, which is dedicated to help strengthening the unity of the body of Christ. You can support us in this by visiting inhope.tv to donate and following us on Instagram. Thank you, and we hope to see you on Instagram and back next week for another episode of the In Hope podcast.